So imagine buying a stock that looks like just the absolute ultimate bargain, right?
Oh, yeah. Happens all the time.
Right. But then you just watch your investment vanish practically overnight. And not because the stock price dropped or anything, but because the math you relied on was, well, it was a complete illusion.
It's a harsh reality check.
Yeah. So welcome to this deep dive. Finding a great stock to invest in is a lot like being a detective. You step onto the scene and you're handed a few high-level clues. You've got a company name, maybe a popular product you recognize, and of course, the current stock price.
Right, but the price tag alone rarely tells the whole story. I mean, the nominal price of a stock, whether it's, $10 or $1,000 a share, is really just a surface-level number.
It's just circumstantial evidence.
Exactly. To uncover the true intrinsic value of a company, you have to look beneath that daily ticker tape. You need to find the underlying financial evidence that actually dictates where the business is heading over the next, say, 5 to 10 years.
And that is exactly our mission today. We are going to demystify stock valuation for you, especially if you are a newer investor trying to, filter out all that daily noise of the market.
There is a lot of noise.
So much. So we've taken a stack of comprehensive financial frameworks, everything from global standards of fundamental equity analysis to the highly practical Neo app investment workflow, and we're boiling them all down. We're going to explain the most critical tools in the game, which are the PE ratio and the PEG ratio.
And this is such a vital journey for anyone managing their own capital, because what we're really doing here is learning the specific mechanisms that separate genuine long-term market opportunities from dangerous financial illusions.
Yeah, we'll explore why a stock that looks incredibly cheap might actually be a massive trap. We'll look at how the Neo app workflow uses the PEG ratio as this like ultimate sanity check. And most importantly, we are going to break down the real-world mathematical pitfalls that can catch you entirely off guard if you aren't paying close attention.
It's all about avoiding those rookie mistakes.
For sure. Okay, let's unpack this. Where do we actually start the investigation?
Well, every rigorous financial investigation begins with the most universally scrutinized metric in equity research, which is the price-to-earnings, or PE, ratio.
Right.
It is the standard starting point in the Neo app tutorial workflow for a very good reason. At its core, the PE ratio distills this vast, complicated array of corporate variables into a single, easily comparable figure. It tells you exactly how much the broader market is willing to pay today for every single dollar of a company's current earnings.
So to put some simple math to it, just so we're all on the same page, if a company's stock is trading at, let's say, $20 a share, and the company generates $1 profit per share over the year, the PE ratio is a 20.
Spot on.
Investors are essentially saying, I am willing to hand over $20 right now to own $1 of this company's profit-generating power.
That is the core mechanism. It's the ultimate valuation benchmark. But, in fundamental analysis, we don't just accept that multiple blindly.
Right, because not all earnings are created equal.
Exactly. We look for what we call a justified multiple, which is driven by the underlying characteristics of the business. Two companies might both have a PE of 20, but one deserves it and the other completely doesn't.
So what actually makes a multiple justified?
It comes down to factors like a company's dividend payout policy, its required rate of return.
Which is really just a financial proxy for how risky the stock is, right?
Yeah, exactly. And crucially, its capital efficiency. We look at metrics like return on invested capital or ROIC.
Okay, let's translate ROIC for a second, because that sounds like heavy Wall Street jargon. Is that basically just a measure of how efficiently a company turns cash into more cash?
Essentially, yes. Imagine two businesses. Business A makes $100 in profit, but it has to spend, I don't know, 90 of those dollars on new equipment just to keep the lights on and maintain its market share.
Ouch.
Right. But business B makes $100, and it only needs to reinvest $10 to keep growing because it has brilliant software or a massive brand advantage.
So business B has a much higher return on invested capital. It has $90 of free cash left over to give back to shareholders, whereas business A only has 10.
Which fundamentally justifies a much higher PE ratio for business B. The market is willing to pay a premium because the quality of those earnings is vastly superior.
Okay, that makes total sense. But stopping at the PE ratio is where we run into a classic rookie mistake. I know a lot of new investors look at a low PE ratio, say a PE of 8 or 10, and they immediately think, Amazing. The stock is on sale. I found a deep value bargain.
Oh, it's such a dangerous mindset.
Yeah, because relying solely on that single number exposes you to a massive fundamental flaw.
Fundamental analysts refer to this as the growth blind spot. A standalone PE ratio only tells you what a company earned yesterday.
Right.
It is a static snapshot of the past. It tells you absolutely nothing about the trajectory or the momentum of the business tomorrow.
Buying a low PE stock without checking its growth is like, it's like buying a heavily discounted used car. Mm-hmm. It looks like an absolute steal until you get it home and realize it has a blown engine and like a family of raccoons living in the trunk.
That is a very vivid way to put it.
It's cheap for a reason.
Huh?
Buying a stock isn't about buying the present. You are always buying the future.
I like that analogy because it perfectly illustrates the mechanics of a value trap.
A value trap.
Yeah, a value trap is a highly deceptive investment. It appears to be a bargain purely based on a low historical multiple, but you are actually buying into a decaying company with no future earning potential. The NeoApp framework points out four specific fundamental flaws that create these traps.
Okay, what's the first one?
The first is simply a declining business. This is a scenario where a company is actively losing its market share to competitors.
Like the product just isn't relevant anymore, so sales are drying up.
Exactly. The second flaw is debt problems. Heavy leverage can drain all the cash flow a company generates, which completely suffocates its ability to fund future growth.
Right. They're just working to pay the bank.
Yep. The third is falling earnings, which is where the math of a value trap really bites you. If a company's profits are shrinking, a price that looks cheap today mathematically becomes very expensive tomorrow, even if the stock price never actually moves.
Wait, let's walk through the math on that to make it concrete for the listener. Let's say I buy a stock for $10 and they earn $1 last year. My PE is 10. Looks like a great deal.
But because it's a value trap, their business is suffering. So in the next 12 months, their earnings drop by 50%. Now they're down to 50 cents a share.
Oh, wow. So now my $10 stock price is divided by 50 cents of earnings. My PE ratio just doubled to 20.
Exactly.
The stocks became twice as expensive, and the actual share price hasn't even gone up.
And the fourth flaw is industry disruption. Think of a legacy technology hardware company that is suddenly made completely obsolete by, say, a new cloud computing innovation. All four of these flaws destroy the E in the PE ratio.
So we have this massive blind spot. The PE ratio gives us a great snapshot of the present profitability, but it leaves us totally blind to the speed and direction of the company. Since it ignores momentum, we need a better tool to, you know, level the playing field.
And that brings us to the next level of the NeoApp workflow, which is the PEG ratio.
The price earnings to growth ratio.
Right. If the standard PE is your starting point, the PEG ratio serves as your ultimate growth sanity check. It fixes the fatal flaw of the standard PE by directly and mathematically factoring in how fast a company's earnings are actually expanding.
The calculation itself is surprisingly straightforward. You just take the PE ratio and you divide it by the expected earnings growth rate.
But you use the growth rate as a whole number.
Right. Good clarification. So if expected growth is 25%, you divide by 25, not 0.25.
Exactly. Let's look at a specific mathematical comparison drawn from the sources to prove why the PEG ratio completely changes how an investor should view valuation. Consider it the tale of two companies. First, we have the stagnant company.
Okay.
It trades at a supposedly cheap PE of 10. However, its earnings are barely keeping up with inflation, growing at only 2% a year.
Okay, so we take the PE of 10, divide it by the growth rate of 2. That gives us a PEG ratio of 5.
Now let's contrast that with the high growth company. This company has what the average retail investor would call an incredibly expensive PE of 40.
40, yeah. Most people would run from that.
Right. But its earnings are rocketing upward. They're growing at 40% a year.
So we take the PE of 40 divided by the growth of 40, which gives us a PEG ratio of 1.
Exactly.
Wait, here's where it gets really interesting. You're telling me the stock with a price tag of 40 is actually a much better bargain than the one with a price tag of 10.
Counterintuitively, yes. The math says paying $40 for every dollar of earnings for the fast grower is actually a much better deal than paying $10 for the slow one. It completely redefines the word expensive.
That is wild.
It really reveals the power of compounding. The PEG ratio completely levels the playing field between a slow-moving, mature utility company and a high-octane tech startup. It mathematically demonstrates that the company with the PE of 40 is the better long-term value because that premium price tag is fully justified by the massive expansion of its bottom line over the coming years.
That shifts the entire paradigm of how you screen for stocks. So what is the baseline metric we should be aiming for when we calculate this?
The golden rule of the PEG ratio is that a reading below one generally indicates a stock is actually undervalued relative to its growth potential.
Okay, below one.
Yes. That is your clear, objective signal to dig deeper and research further. It's the validation step that ensures you aren't falling for value traps while simultaneously identifying high-growth stocks that the broader market hasn't fully priced in yet.
But let's transition from the clean theoretical math to the incredibly messy reality of the actual stock market.
It is very messy.
Because earnings aren't just one static number handed down from on high.
Oh, not at all. They are highly dynamic. And applying these ratios requires us to understand temporal nuances, specifically the profound difference between trailing multiples and forward multiples.
Right.
This is where fundamental analysis requires you to understand market psychology.
Let's break those down. The trailing PE, often labeled TTM for trailing 12 months. This is based on the actual audited earnings a company reported over the past year.
Correct.
It's concrete. Yeah. It's real money that actually cleared the bank account.
Yeah.
But it's essentially looking in the rearview mirror.
Its primary advantage is absolute historical accuracy. You know those numbers are real. But as a lagging indicator, it entirely fails to account for imminent shifts in business conditions.
Like what?
Well, in highly cyclical industries like semiconductor manufacturing or housing, earnings might hit an absolute peak right before a massive economic downturn. If you only look at trailing PE, the stock will look incredibly cheap. And you might buy in right before the fundamental collapse.
Which brings us to the forward PE. If trailing is the rearview mirror, forward PE is looking through the windshield.
Yes.
It divides the current stock price by the projected estimated earnings for the next 12 months.
And this metric is far more aligned with how Wall Street actually operates because financial markets are ultimately forward-looking discounting mechanisms.
Hold on. Discounting mechanism. Let's make sure that's clear. Does that basically mean the market is constantly trying to price in tomorrow's news today?
Exactly.
Like investors are trying to figure out what a future dollar of profit is worth to them right now, factoring in time and risk.
That is a perfect explanation. A stock price today is just the current value of all the cash that company will generate in the future. Let's look at some real-world case studies from the sources to see how this divergence between past and future plays out.
Good, let's do it.
Take Apple in early 2026. Its trailing PE was hovering in the high 20s, and its forward PE was resting in the mid-20s.
So they were converging. The past and the expected future were very close to each other.
Yes, and in fundamental analysis, we call that a clean read. It suggests high conviction among investors. Historical trends and forward market expectations are in perfect alignment.
So the market expects Apple's steady, service-driven growth engine to continue predictably without any massive shocks.
Precisely. But then you have a company like NVIDIA operating right at the white-hot center of the massive AI infrastructure boom. That looked very different.
Completely different.
Prior to mid-2026, NVIDIA demonstrated what analysts call a massive CapEx pull forward.
Let's break that jargon down, too. CapEx pull forward essentially means massive tech companies decided to aggressively spend billions of dollars on AI infrastructure and data centers now, rather than spreading that spending out over the next 5 years.
Yes, exactly. Because of that sudden rush of spending, NVIDIA's trailing PE, based on its past earnings, was exceptionally high. It looked astronomically expensive looking backward.
But its forward PE was significantly lower.
Because the market consensus was that NVIDIA's earnings were going to step up dramatically in the coming quarters to meet all that unprecedented AI demand.
So the core question for an analyst evaluating NVIDIA wasn't what they earned last year, but whether that AI spending narrative would hold up to actually meet those massive forward estimates.
That's exactly it. And while we're discussing market realities, we also have to address the apples to oranges problem of industry context.
Right, because you cannot evaluate a PE ratio in a vacuum. A PE of 15 means something entirely different in tech than it does in banking.
Different sectors have inherently different growth trajectories, capital requirements, and regulatory environments. For example, looking at the data from December 2025, the internet services and infrastructure subsector was trading at an astronomical average PE of 72.79. 72. Because software scales instantly. I mean, once the code is written, selling 1 million more digital copies costs almost nothing. The margins are huge.
But compare that to the oil and gas drilling sector, which was trading at an average PE of just 8.35.
Wow, that's a huge difference.
It is. That is a highly mature, heavily regulated industry requiring massive physical capital expenditures. You have to build physical rigs to make more money.
Right.
Comparing the internet company to the oil driller using the exact same multiple is analytically invalid.
Yeah.
You must always benchmark a stock against its direct industry peers.
But wait, if we go back to the NVIDIA example and the forward PE, if the forward multiple relies entirely on what Wall Street analysts think will happen next year, aren't we just basing our valuations on educated guesses?
Yes.
Like, what happens if they're wrong?
This raises the most critical warning of our entire discussion, and it points directly to the Achilles heel of this entire valuation framework. It's what financial analysts call the forward revision trap, and it is incredibly dangerous to retail investors. Okay, let's use the Tesla case study from the sources to illustrate the mechanics of this trap, because it paints the picture perfectly.
In 2026, Tesla experienced a significant miss in their vehicle delivery numbers. Before the miss, the trailing PE looked survivable to some investors, and the forward PE actually looked quite reasonable because analysts had modeled very strong growth projections for the coming year. But when consumer demand softened and vehicle inventory started piling up on lots, Wall Street analysts aggressively slashed their future earnings estimates.
So the E and the PE ratio, the denominator of our equation, suddenly shrank drastically.
Yes.
And just like we discussed with the value trap, when the denominator shrinks while the stock price stays the same, the overall ratio explodes upward.
It happened overnight. The stock became incredibly expensive instantly, not because the stock price went on a massive rally, but because the expected future earnings vanished into thin air. A low forward PE is only a bargain if the company actually achieves those projected earnings.
And this completely shatters the PEG ratio too, doesn't it? If the PEG relies on that same estimated growth rate, the whole sanity check falls apart if the estimate turns out to be a fantasy.
We call that the PEG reality check. Let's go back to our math one more time. Imagine analysts forecast a massive 25% growth rate for a stock currently trading at a PE of 25.
So 25 divided by 25. That gives you a perfect PEG ratio of 1.0. The golden rule says buy.
But then reality hits. The macroeconomic environment shifts, the company hits a wall, and it only actually manages to grow at 5%.
Oof.
If you had used the real realized growth rate of 5 instead of the estimated 25, your PEG calculation would be 25 divided by 5.
Which equals a PEG of 5.0.
Exactly. The PEG ratio suddenly becomes completely meaningless. It produced a false positive, making the stock look like a safe, undervalued bargain when it was actually wildly overpriced for the meager growth it delivered.
It's just an illusion.
The PEG is a phenomenal guide, but it requires you to trust the inputs. It is not a guarantee.
So we have the illusion of the PE sale price, the danger of falling into value traps, the leveling power of the PEG ratio, and the terrifying reality of the forward revision trap. How does an everyday investor actually process all of this without getting paralyzed by analysis paralysis?
By synthesizing these concepts into a structured, repeatable process. This is exactly what the three-step Neo app workflow is designed to do. It removes the emotional reaction to a stock price and forces you to systematically verify the fundamental evidence.
Okay, let's lay out those three steps so you can use them right away. Step one is the starting point. You identify the current PE ratio. This simply establishes your baseline of what you are paying for current earnings.
Step two is the filter. This is where you actively hunt for value traps. Do not just blindly buy a low PE. You must verify the company's underlying health.
What are we looking for here?
Look at their balance sheet. Do they have crippling debt? Are their historical earnings actively falling? Is the entire industry facing technological disruption?
Basically, before you buy the store, check to see if the lease is expiring.
Exactly. And finally, step three is the validation. You apply the PEG sanity check, divide the PE by the expected growth rate.
Right.
If the resulting number is below one and the business passed your health filter in step two, you have likely found a true mathematically sound bargain.
That is a brilliant, actionable shortcut. Let's quickly recap our investigated journey today. We started by busting the myth of the PE sale price, learning that cheap often just means broken. We learned the math behind spotting deadly value traps. We leveled up our toolkit with the PEG ratio to factor in the massive power of compounding growth. And most importantly, we learned to treat Wall Street analyst estimates with a very healthy dose of skepticism to avoid the forward revision trap.
Because investing isn't just about scanning for the cheapest numbers on a screen, it's about uncovering true intrinsic value.
Exactly.
The frameworks you've just learned are the ultimate defense mechanism against rookie mistakes. They protect your capital by forcing you to demand mathematical evidence for the price tag you are paying.
Now, we've been looking at all this through a microscope, analyzing companies one by one. But what happens if we pull the lens back? Like, how do these rules apply when we look at the S&P 500 as a whole?
Oh, that is a fascinating shift in perspective. Fundamental analysis extends far beyond single stocks. We can evaluate the entire broader stock market using what is known as the Shiller PE, or the KP ratio.
KP stands for cyclically adjusted price to earnings, right?
Yes.
Let's make sure we understand the mechanics of that. Instead of just looking at last year's earnings or next year's estimates, the KPE ratio uses a 10-year average of inflation-adjusted earnings. Why 10 years?
Because a 10-year window smooths out the wild cyclical noise of temporary economic booms and deep recessions.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, if you just look at a single year during a recession, corporate earnings might be artificially low, making the market look wildly expensive. Averaging earnings over 10 years gives you a much truer picture of the underlying sustained earning power of the entire economy.
And what does history tell us about this metric?
Historically, the KPE ratio has incredible predictive power for long-term investors. Markets purchased at low KPE valuations, say below 10, have historically delivered massive long-term returns over the following decades.
But let me guess, markets entered at high KPE valuations don't fare so well.
Correct. Historically, anything above 25 or 30 has consistently yielded poor or even negative returns over the subsequent 10 to 15 years.
Wow. And the source data gives us a very specific and, frankly, kind of alarming number for late 2025.
It does. By late 2025, the S&P 500 CPE ratio hit 39.3. Yeah. That is a level historically associated with major market tops, like the peaks in 1929 and 1999, which were both followed by severe, prolonged periods of return compression.
It is a terrifying comparison.
Now, to be fair, many modern critics argue that today's market is completely different, that it's dominated by high-margin, capital-light technology monopolies that fundamentally justify a permanently higher average KPE.
Sure, the whole this time is different argument.
Exactly. But the math remains the math. Which leaves us with a massive, provocative question to explore next. Are we simply living in a permanent, tech-driven new normal?
Or is the entire broader stock market currently sitting as one giant value trap?
Exactly.
And that is exactly the kind of mystery we want you to mull over. You have the tools now. You have the magnifying glass. Don't just trust the price tag. Look beneath the surface. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the numbers. Keep learning. And we will see you next time.